Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Chai Chat. I'm Mary Rockenstein, and my company is Leadership Edge Solutions. I'm a coach, a trainer, and a business consultant. And as always, joining me is my co-host, Victoria Vitier of Enlightened Life Coaching. Victoria, say hello and tell everyone what you do.
Hey, hi, Mary. Hi, folks. I am an Enlightened Life Coach and work with people on all parts of their lives, whether it's career or personal or health or wealth or any kinds of these issues. I also do consulting for small businesses and family-owned businesses actually are kind of fun to work with for me too. So here we are, and we got a good show. This is part two of a good topic, huh, Mary?
Yeah, it is. In fact, we've been talking about boundaries, and I have to laugh because for the last month and a half, Victoria, I haven't really mentioned this to you, but my road has been under construction. They've torn apart a bridge on one end. They're putting a traffic circle in at the other. And it's funny as we think about boundaries, because boundaries, as we discussed last show, come in lots of shapes and sizes. But when you think about personal property boundaries, I've just watched some neighbors, and rightly so, get a little agitated that, gosh, I didn't know that 6 feet of my yard was going to be dug up all summer long. And it is just kind of funny how our daily lives are really impacted by boundaries in many, many ways.
Well, absolutely. But at any rate, well, and the rerouting necessary, you know, to figure out, okay, life is about change, and so, okay, how do you regroove, you know?
Although
there's a traffic circle.
Although I'll say this, because I think this is really applicable to what we're going to talk about today, but, you know, I think about the frustration that I just iterated from my neighbors, but I think that frustration could have been mitigated a bit if the city had done a little bit better job communicating, here's what's going to happen, here's what you're going to go through. So, and I think that's really important, because sometimes where we get hung up on boundaries, it's because there is a lack of communication. But, you know, last session, which was 2 weeks ago, our last broadcast, we did really a kind of a high-level overview of boundaries, you know, and we talked about the fact that boundaries really define us, just like, you know, the surveyors going out again and putting the stakes in the ground to show where my property begins and ends and where my neighbor's begins. We have boundaries that do the same thing, and we have physical boundaries that really, you know, we think about in terms of our physical space. That's the example that I just shared. We have mental boundaries, which are really directed by our thoughts. We have emotional boundaries, which are, you know, determined a lot by our feelings, and then spiritual boundaries, which come from our beliefs. And, you know, our boundaries are all different. My boundaries are different than yours, Victoria, and I'm guaranteeing that any two people listening in live or, you know, via archive, our boundaries are all really, really different. It's important that we understand that, and that we also understand that if someone has unhealthy boundaries, maybe they're too loose, they let everything in, or they're too rigid, they don't let anything in or anything out. You know, if they're in an unhealthy state, you know, it's important that we don't enable that, whether that's at work or in our personal life. We have to find a way to have a thoughtful conversation, and I know you're going to share some about this in a moment, but I'm going to take us back to when we talked about healthy ego states. You know, it's important that sometimes we have to take a step and take a deep breath if someone invades our boundaries and just say, you know, I need to handle this, but right now I'm going to practice what we talked about months ago and just take a time out for myself, regroup, think about how I can respond from an adult ego state so I don't tick you off. You know, very, very important.
Absolutely.
And then lastly, one of the things, and this has been a tough lesson for me to learn over the years, but no is a very important word. It's an important word to allow children to begin to use and use in the right way. Mm-hmm. And it's an important word as an adult for us to be able to use. But again, use it in a way in which we're always being respectful of the other person. So having said that, I'm excited about our topic today. Why don't you go ahead and let everyone know, Victoria, what we're going to be talking about today? How about that?
Yeah, well, we're going to be today. We're going to be, you know, sort of segueing into taking a deeper dive in exploring developing healthy boundaries. What that would look like, how the gate's going to swing, as we use our metaphor. And we're also going to discuss the a topic we've discussed before in great detail called ego states, and how people, when they're in regressed ego state places, tend to do what we're going to teach today is called control dramas. And how that all relates to the use of boundaries and the swinging of the gate. So, So we're going to take a little deeper dive and explain a little bit more about this. And then, of course, we're going to help you to learn how to self-parent through all this drama-rama that can ensue, and give some examples about how this might unfold in your work world and, you know, in your world of relationship. Anything that we talk about in the shows and related to work world is applicable to any area of relationship or endeavor or mutual, you know, activity that you find yourself in. So everything that we teach here has a 360 application. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's dive in. You know, I mentioned in the intro that boundaries really do help us. If we're exercising healthy boundaries, they really do help us manage stress and manage healthy relationships. And, you know, as I think about, again, some of what we've talked about on our journey, even going back to the models of living, are we living from the inside out, from a be-do-have, or are, like most people, functioning from, you know, working from the outside in, do-have-be? And that's important because, you know, we are responsible for creating and setting our own boundaries. And I would just say if something's out of alignment, if you have not been living from the inside out, from a be-do-have mindset, you might really take a close look at your boundaries. Why are you living from the outside in? Why is your starting point due? You know, and you really, we are each, you know, responsible for controlling that because nobody else can do that for us. That is something, it's a decision that we have to make. And part of it, I think, is just, I don't know, Victoria, I think part of it is just coming to that realization.
Yeah, that you are your parent now.
Yeah.
That you are the one you've been waiting for, you know, to complain about your past and complain about, you know, oh, gee, you know, this is missing, or that's wrong, or that's it is not going to help. This is a point of power right now. And, you know, as we acknowledge what we may need to teach ourselves or what we may need to develop, we've got to get going and do that. And we're going to help you in these shows to guide you to develop these better patterns, these better ways of interacting and of parenting yourself, as we call it, which is, you know, to come from a place of empowerment and a place of self-nurturing and self-care.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it kind of this way. This may be kind of a strange example, but, you know, if someone is trying to break into either of our homes, you know, psychologists will tell us we're going to either go into the fight or flight, you know, mode, right? We're either going to run and try to protect ourselves, or we're going to fight back in whatever means appropriate. But, you know, we're going to do something. And the same thing happens when someone tries to break into our boundaries that we've created. Again, whether they're personal, spiritual, physical, mental, what have you, emotional, it doesn't matter. But when somebody tries to break in, it's important that we think about, as I said earlier, how are we going to respond to that? And I've got some people right now, it seems to be a common theme. And again, I laugh because it really goes back to the levels of engagement that we started this whole show, you know, based on the premise that engagement levels are not where they should be. But it seems to be, you know, a very common occurrence where in this day and age, people will take paid time off. We used to call it vacation, but I think now a lot of companies refer to it as paid time off. But somebody will sign up to go on vacation, take paid time off, but the belief is, or it's assumed, I should say, that, well, you are going to take your iPhone and you are going to respond to emails and you are still going to work on this project, right? And to me, that's a huge invasion of one's, could be emotional boundary, it could be a physical and mental boundary, but that's a huge invasion of a boundary. And that's a tough conversation to have. But again, if you typically are living from the inside out, I think it's an easier conversation to have, whether it's with your supervisor, your peers. But, you know, we need time off to re-energize and recharge, and to allow somebody to invade that boundary, I think, could really set us on a downward spiral. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that IT is now interwoven into the fabric of life in every way, shape, and form, and people seem, you know, completely attached to their devices and, you know, responding to their devices, that's probably another show in itself. But the fact is that that has brought a completely new wrinkle into this concept of boundaries. Because
yeah.
It's blurred them and sort of made them disappear if we are not. So we have to be actually even better at creating healthy boundaries than we were before, you know, the 90s and the onset of IT in our
yeah.
lives in every way.
And I'm a big believer in sometimes spur of the moment comment, sometimes spur of the moment reaction is not the best because that could be coming again from an ego state that's not appropriate. And so I think if when we're in those situations, and again, someone, and probably the worst case scenario is it's our boss, right? Because we're not as threatened by peers and certainly not as threatened by our direct reports if we have to have a conversation with them. But, you know, having a conversation about boundaries with a supervisor can be pretty intimidating. And so, you know, this is just a general rule of thumb. And I've practiced this myself. So I'm not just saying this. This actually, it really does work. But I think you have to be very clear on, you know, what it is that they've invaded. You know, what is the boundary that they've invaded, and how are you going to handle it? What are you going to say? You know, what are you going to talk to people about in terms of that? So if, you know, for example, one that was pretty a common occurrence for me is I believed in keeping my door open as, you know, a leader in this particular role in this particular company that I'm thinking about. I never really believed in shutting my door unless I was in a private meeting or on a private phone call, you
mm-hmm.
know, with someone. But leaving your door open just means that people can kind of wander in at all hours of the day, all day long. And I had to have some tough conversations with people about interruptions. It's like, hey, I'm here to help, but please don't come in every 5 minutes because it takes me 15 minutes to get back in the groove, and studies show it takes you 15 to 16
mm-hmm.
minutes if you're working on a project and you've been interrupted. It takes you time
mm-hmm.
to get back into it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I would sit down and think about how I want to thoughtfully have that conversation before I just bark at someone. And the same goes again for, you know, our supervisors. We have to really think about how to respectfully have those conversations. What are your thoughts on that, Victoria?
Well, you know, this really brings up the thought of, you know, ego states. And
yeah.
I'm going to review those briefly here, and then we're going to talk about something called control dramas. And
mm-hmm.
people who act from regressed ego states, and we'll go over that again in a minute, will tend to threaten others' boundaries by engaging in what I'm going to teach in a minute as a control drama. When we talked about ego states, we talked about the element of us that is, you know, that we have learned to parent ourselves from our parents, and that can have different faces. It can have a very controlling, the controlling kind of parent. It can, you know, and so when we or critical, version of parenting that we do within ourselves now and that we do to other people. In our dealings with them in how we handle other people's boundaries or don't handle them well. There's also the teenage, you know, the sort of aloof or, you know, kind of snarky or, you know, a little bit not so professional, part of our ego that just sort of wants to flip everybody the bird and go
yeah.
off into our corner. And then there's poor me, which can, you know, sort of elicit this childish kind of, can be a childish behavior and elicit, you know, all kinds of interesting responses from other people. Now, in terms of those ego states, there are control dramas that are typical of these ego states. There are four control dramas. One of them is called intimidation. Second one is called interrogation. The third one is called aloof. And the fourth one is called poor me. Now, when a person is engaging from critical parent or domineering or controlling parent, they can come off as intimidating or interrogating in their control drama, in the way that they deal with and try to control other people and situations. When they are behaving in an aloof way, they're coming from their teen ego state generally, but can also be sort of a distant critical parent version too. And then when a person is feeling childish or fearful or in any way worried, anxious. They can often slip into poor me, which is, you know, also can be a critical parent, and I'll explain, you know, kind of how that works. So these are the four dramas: intimidation, interrogation, and they're, by the way, the masculine energy kind of dramas, and aloof and poor me are generally sort of negatively tinged feminine energy kinds of. They're more imploding, and the other ones are exploding. And why all this matters is because these are, you know, this is what explains when you sort of walk away from an interaction and you're scratching your head going, what happened? You know, that was a mess. I'm not sure. I don't even know where I was responding from, and I don't know where they were coming from, and none of it felt good. Generally, you were acting out, you know, what I'm explaining here in ways that you're not aware of, and we're going to talk about how to get through this in more productive ways in a minute. Does any of this make sense to you, Mary? Trigger any examples? Because I have some that I'll share here too.
You know, it does, and I will say that I think the forum in which I see any one of these states manifesting mm-hmm. itself. Probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, don't think this is an exaggeration, on a daily basis, is through email, which is mm-hmm. why when we talked about managing yourself in time, I just went on a rant about email. We should mm-hmm. never use it to be critical or judgmental or put mm-hmm. negative comments in an email, because it's really hard for most people to manage that ego state. It also is probably impeding on someone's boundaries, because who wants to get email, you know, that's just riddled with nasty, negative, you know, accusation or what have you. But I think whether it's intimidation, interrogation, aloof, or poor me, which I call the victim, I mm-hmm. think all of that happens on mm-hmm. such a frequent basis through the way that we communicate at work.
It does. It does. And as you said, when it's virtual and not actual, it can become a little more of a mess, because you're not really reading nuance. You're not being able to read the nonverbals. You know, there's a lot missing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at print on a page. And let's look at some other examples. For instance, you know, if you have, say, a micromanaging kind of situation where your superior, you know, your boss or your manager or whoever it is sort of breathing down your neck and asking questions about every single thing you do, that's the critical parent interrogation control drama going on there. And they're coming from a critical parent. They're also coming from a critical parent if you've been threatened by disciplinary action, or somehow, you know, you've been sort of warned about something in some threatening way. That, again, is intimidation. It's a critical parent technique. Another ones that are more subtle in these feminine drama ones are like the missing in action boss. You know, the one that's sort of not there and just withholds and maybe closes the door and you can't get to them. And so you do need access in a productive way, but you can't because they're always gone or something else is more important that they're attending to. And that's a control drama by the boss with being aloof and missing. There's also this other interesting sort of covert control drama that happens that often ends up overworking the staff or the employees when, you know, supervisors and managers and such, you know, are play poor me. You know, the project, I don't know what to do. The project just has to be done. I'm getting pressure from above. You know, you're just going to have to work. You can't take time off. You can't take, you know, no one can take any time now. This is top priority. There's this sort of poor me victim stance that happens, and it sucks in, you know, codependent enabling behavior. You know, I've dealt with clients who have tons of leave time that they have not been able to take. And they're up against the edge of not even of losing it because they've been on such, you know, priority projects that they, you know, they really weren't allowed to take the time.
Yeah, and I think organizations, just to categorize, are the worst. And then at some level, various executives within those organizations, they're the worst at, they continue to push and literally abuse the whole boundary piece.
Yes.
And not really think about what is that person, you know, I learned a tough lesson a long time ago from a great leader that I had. And it was like, you know what, when you take personal time off or vacation time, I don't want you to work. You need that time to just get centered again. And this was, I'm talking 20, 25 years ago, you know, it was before any of this stuff was being discussed. But there really are some great leaders out there Victoria, who get it, and great leaders and companies who understand that, you know what, I need the best of what everybody can bring every day. I need everyone's best coming to work. And by the way, the people that get that, those also happen to be the companies that really are the best places to work and have the highest levels of associate engagement, because you don't get it from the work culture that you just described.
Well, absolutely. And the thing that is really important, and we're going to drill this home again and again and again, is that you are responsible for yourself. You're responsible to other people, perhaps, in your relationships, your work role, et cetera. But you are responsible for yourself. And so in any case, it is really important that you parent yourself in a healthy way. If we come from a family where we were controllingly parented or critically parented, or our parents were missing in action, or, you know, dependent, so that we ended up parenting them, all of those situations set us up for really bad boundary management when we are in supposedly adult roles in a workplace. It's not your boss's job to parent you. It's your job to parent you. So even though we have people in hierarchical positions in an organization, you are still the supreme decision maker and empowered individual in your life. And I just want to drill that home, because I've seen people in big stressful messes where they were hoping that their bosses or supervisors or organizations were going to take care of them and parent them well. That's not their job.
Yeah, doesn't happen.
No, well, in many places they do a great job of leadership, but that's not parenting.
That's parenting.
That's a very,
no.
very different dynamic, and Mary is our guru in that department. So I want to really drill this home for people.
I'll tell you another place really quickly, Victoria, where this manifests itself outside of the workplace, and that is on social media. You know, if you really start to look at, and I would say more so on LinkedIn, although, you know, you get the haters on Facebook too, but I am just dumbfounded sometimes when I will look at an original post that somebody has had the courage to put up there, and all of a sudden you get these critical comments. Now, I believe that if you're going to put something up, as hard as it is for some of us to hear that, hey, this doesn't make any sense, or you missed something there, you know, I think that's really important, and we all need to be able to accept that constructive feedback, but do it in a way, again, that's respectful. I remember a couple months ago, someone within my LinkedIn network posted something, and it wasn't in the professional business, you know, genre. It was something else. And I thought it was fine, but someone else who was linked in with this person put this snippy, snide, this is not the place for this kind of, and I thought, well, who are you, you know, to judge? And, you know, if they really wanted to put that out there and have everybody look at it, it could have been done in a much more thoughtful way. But it goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes, you know, when we want to assert our opinions, we need to take a step back for a minute and just really think about what's the way that I can do this in which it will be received in the right way and not be hurtful. And that might sound mushy, but I'm telling you, if we practice doing that on a regular basis, we'd have a lot less problems in society as a whole.
Well, and again, it goes back to you're not responsible for someone else, but you're responsible to them to come across as professional, respectful.
Right.
Exactly. And this is a great segue into let's tell you the how to self-parent out there. This is sort of the process that's really important to go through within yourself. We're gonna make this a sandwich. We're gonna have an inner, we're gonna have two outer, and we're gonna have an inner. So it's point one is an inner thing that you're going to do. Two and three are going to be outer, between you and the next person. And then the fourth one is going to come back to your inner process. And this is about how to respond as an adult ego state, no matter what. No matter what you get faced with, whether it's an intimidator, an interrogator, an aloof, a poor me, a regressed person who's having a temper tantrum, it doesn't matter. This is your sort of checklist. The first one is an inner process, and that is to remember that their behavior is about them, not you. And it's very, very important to get this, that if you're being presented with something, it's really coming from their perception, and it's really about their take on it. It's not necessarily about you. And we've got it. That boundary is very, very important to have inside of you. It doesn't mean that they're not telling you something that could be constructive or helpful, but it's not. It's their perception, which is always important to remember. So that helps as a boundary inside of you to begin with. Then the two outer things that you're going to do are reflect back to them. And this is especially when someone's coming across in a real controlling kind of negative, drama kind of way. You're going to reflect back to them, and you're not going to take it in, and you're going to say something like, well, you know, that's really interesting. Here's what I hear you saying, and it seems like you're a little upset about this, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but here's what I'm hearing that you're trying to impart to me. So, again, you're going to neutralize this as much as possible, and you're going to reflect it back to make sure that you're getting the nuggets of what it is they're trying to share to you with you without the drama. Then you're going to inform them of what you really need and what would be helpful. So, again, in a workplace interaction, it's like, okay, well, let me kind of give you an idea of where I'm coming from and what I really need in this situation and what would be helpful so you can understand. And, again, this is breaking down all that drama and getting to what is the functional best possible outcome for this interaction. Two people are trying to communicate about something, and you want to strip out the drama, and you want to put in the adult communication that's necessary in here so something of value can happen between the two of you. Then the last piece would be the inner piece of remembering that you ultimately teach people how to treat you. So how you deal with your boundaries is teaching other people how to treat you.
Very important.
So the first one is inner. Remember that their behavior is about them, not you. Two, reflect back to them. Don't take it in, but reflect and take on advisement what it is that they're saying, but strip out the drama. So you reflect it back in a very neutral way. And then you inform them of where you're coming from in a non-dramatic way, non-reactive, a response. Okay, well, hearing, you know, you, here's what I'd like to share about where I'm coming from and what my needs are and what might be helpful in this situation. That's the outer piece again. Then the inner piece is you wrap the sandwich up with, you are teaching people how to treat you. So this entire interaction was a primer for that person that you're dealing with to know how you handle your boundaries and how well you parent yourself. So that's the sandwich.
Cool. Cool. So yeah. How would we turn this into a home play then?
Well, how we would turn it into a home play, I believe, would be is to look at, map out your workplace a little bit. Sit down with a sheet of paper and go, okay, you know, where do I see, you know, how are boundaries being used in my workplace? Let me just look at the gates here. How are they swinging?
Are
boundaries being used? Yeah. Are they swinging off the hinges? Are they, you know, are there any there at all?
Is there a gate?
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Are they made of wrought iron and welded together? What's going on here? So you take a look at the workplace, map out how boundaries are being used, and then how can your boundaries become healthier? And healthy boundaries are self-nurturing and empowerment boundaries. They're about empowerment and being responsible for yourself and to other people, and remembering that you're constantly teaching people how to treat you by how you handle your boundaries. It's like a big billboard. So that's what I would recommend for the home plate. Take a look at how boundaries are being used in your workplace, and then look at how your boundaries can become healthier, because you're not responsible for anyone else's. You're responsible for how you respond to what's going on. But it helps to know the lay of the land so that you're not completely befuddled when a drama erupts in front of your nose and you don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So we've just given you the sandwich of how to handle
really,
it all.
That's really, really great advice, Victoria. I think, really, the how to respond in an adult ego state, that's just excellent. And I can think of so many situations where would have helped me in a work environment, and I'm hoping that our listeners are going to take this to heart and really start making this part of your psyche, because this alone would be phenomenal if we could just practice this on a regular basis.
Absolutely. This, and again, the more you're able to inject some sanity and self-parenting into a situation, you are really, it's like a pebble in the pond. You're really spreading this example, and you are stripping the drama out of the situation, and you're elevating the entire scene. So
right.
You're doing a good thing for yourself, and actually it's good for everybody else. So, hey,
yep.
This is our second show on boundaries. We hope that we've given you a whole lot of good information that you can use, and we're going to have a really nice topic for you in September, we believe. We've got a couple of shows lined up with some...
We're laboring over it.
Yeah.
You know why I said that?
that we think you'll like. Yeah, yeah, Labor
Day.
Yeah,
the day after
yeah.
Labor Day.
Yeah, we're coming on in the after Labor Day. So, love that segue. So you guys, you know, have a good couple of weeks. Look at the boundaries. Look how you can make yourself healthier. We want you to feel empowered, but we also want you to learn how to self-nurture. So signing off, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, everybody. See you soon, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.